What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online now to learn more and schedule your next appointment at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. Monday, December 12th edition of the show, and we are welcoming in Dr. Brian Whistle of OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. We're going to jump right into this, Doc. Welcome back to the show. Appreciate you coming down tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We're going to get into some sports talk because that's what we do here on Monday nights, but we want to start out by once again thanking OrthoSensi for their continued support of this show in high school athletics, and we love it when you're able to come down and kind of fill everybody in on what's going on at OrthoSensi, why people should use OrthoSensi when they have an injury or whatnot. So we'll start out by just kind of giving people a refresher of what you do there and why people should come see you and the other great doctors at OrthoSensi.
Yes, so I do a little bit of everything. It ranges from hand stuff. I'll do procedures in the office like trigger fingers, carpal tunnels. Take a fair amount of call up at the hospital. So 'tis the season for ice injuries, you know, wrist fractures, ankle fractures. And so, you know, call is generally covering things that come through the emergency department. And so that's been good to take care of the community. I know in the past, you know, sometimes some of the injuries would have to go to Cincinnati or get, you know, sent to a different hospital. And we try to take care of everybody locally. We know it can be, especially in the winter, kind of a pain to have to drive and have to drive for all your follow-ups. And so we really enjoy kind of keeping the care in the community here. And then, of course, you've got more of the kind of the outpatient things, you know, that chronic shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, you know, things like arthritis. And those are more appropriately kind of worked up on an outpatient basis. See you in the office, get some x-rays, and then kind of talk about, you know, your treatment options and whether that's, you know, non-surgical or surgical options. And the big thing is, you know, always I think people sometimes are afraid to see a surgeon because they're afraid it always kind of heads down that path. And that's, you know, orthopedics care is absolutely both non-surgical and surgical things. In terms of why come see us, you know, I think we've been in the community here now for over 3 years with our office. And I think we do a really good job of sort of catering to the community in terms of, again, you know, trying to keep the care here, trying to do as much as we can to support kind of the local hospital, keep patients local so they're not having to drive, try to keep a lot of the, you know, the testing and the workup local here, try to utilize local therapy offices and, you know, understanding that sometimes people don't love driving across, you know, state lines or across the river to have to go elsewhere. And so it seems like it's been very well received and I've had, you know, really good feedback from the community in that regard.
You mentioned ice injuries. We're in the winter months. We haven't seen a big snow yet or a big ice storm, but there's ice skating rinks around, and there is going to be some of that inclement weather. We wanted to talk about that a little bit here this evening. One, we want people to, you know, try to prevent those injuries if they can. So you can speak on that a little bit more, and if somebody goes through that, unfortunately, and slips and falls, you're there to take care of them.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the, I would absolutely agree. Would rather not see you, honestly, in that case. You know, I want people to be healthy and avoid broken bones, but inevitably accidents happen. You know, aside from the, you know, the usual kind of be smart, you know, as the temperature starts to drop, be conscious of things like black ice and, you know, make sure that you're, you know, watching your footing and being careful in that regard. But, you know, should it happen, like I said, accidents do happen. You know, we're up in the office here 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And generally, especially for, you know, acute injuries like that, we know that as flu season is coming on, the urgent cares and the hospitals are getting crowded. And we generally try to do a really good job of getting you in that, you know, that same day or if not then very soon, you know, within a day or two, if you call and make an appointment. And then, like I said, we've got an x-ray machine in the office. We can start with x-rays there. And sometimes it's just, you know, even reassurance that, you know, like I said, I love it when we shoot x-rays and nothing's broken. And that way, you know, talk about more like a splint or a cast and maybe some therapy to get you back. But, yeah, it's, like I said, I'd prefer, you know, you come and have normal x-rays and people are not injured, but that's not always the case.
And, absolutely. And it's the winter sports season as well. So obviously indoor sports going on. We don't want to see any area student athletes having to deal with any significant injuries as well. But that is something that does come up every now and again. And again, OrthoSensi is here to care for those student athletes and try to get them back out on the court or whatever playing surface as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Yes. So, yeah. As we kind of transition away from football season and I know it was a pretty successful season here for a couple local teams,
absolutely,
which is great. Uh-huh. So, you know, football tends to be, you know, probably the most notorious sport for kind of in-season injuries, but it still happens with, you know, see fair share of volleyball athletes, basketball athletes. And they said, same deal. I understand, you know, the seasons are fairly finite. And so, you know, I had, with my experience working with pro sports teams and fellowship down in New Orleans, you really get to see the importance of triaging injuries very quickly. And you know, really the biggest question when you come in is, hey, is this something that you can play through or not? And so a lot of times, again, that starts with an x-ray, starts with an exam. And, you know, if you're reassuring after that, usually it's kind of return to sport as symptoms allow. But even if we have to get, you know, next step, something like an MRI, and usually have a little bit quicker trigger just because, again, there's you know, you don't have time to see if this gets better or not in 3 weeks. You want to know, can I play this weekend or not? And mm-hmm. so if we do need something like an MRI, try to do a really good job of holding kind of urgent MRI spots for our athletes and try to get them in as soon as possible. That way we get that information. And again, it's, you know, it's a matter of are you hurt or are you injured? And if it's, you know, if it hurts, but everything structurally checks out okay, then, you know, especially you see it a lot with like high school seniors who are, you know, their last season and they're dying to get out there. And so it's nice to be able to give them good news and say, hey, you know, tape it and, you know, do some exercises, but have at it.
Speaking of sports injuries now, I'm pretty sure you haven't seen Trey Hendrickson or Tyler Boyd of the Cincinnati Bengals, but they suffered some fairly significant injuries against the Browns yesterday. Apparently, Trey Hendrickson with a broken wrist, and then Tyler Boyd fractured one of his fingers. Apparently pretty gruesome, and it sounds like the Bengals have not really ruled them out for the following game/games. Would you have any insight into how long those injuries could keep a player out, just generally, whether it's pro or high school athlete?
Yeah, it, of course, without the benefit of you know, seeing it, the exact
exactly.
injury and the x-rays and that, you know, Boyd, you know, finger fractures can be a little bit finicky because not only is it bone, you know, and generally you have good blood supply to your hands and you heal things pretty quickly in your hands, but he's a wide receiver, needs it, and his hands are his living. And you've got a lot of tendons and ligaments and things like that that can actually, you know, oftentimes cause more of an issue than the bone itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were kind of talking before, I'm hoping that it's something that's kind of stable, that even if you had to buddy tape it, which is less than ideal when you're a receiver, but potentially could get back and play, especially as a, depending on how things are looking with the playoff hunt. In terms of Trey's injury, you know, local high school athletes, even with, you know, wrist fractures, a lot of times can play. They'll come put a cast on, and I think there's regulations in terms of you have to pad it well, obviously, so you're not clubbing people out there with it.
Exactly.
But without the benefit of the x-rays, my understanding is it's got to be a fairly stable fracture, because I think he injured it earlier in the game and actually played out the rest of the game with a broken wrist, which is a testament to how tough he is, but also hopefully is kind of an indication that it's not, you know, a significant, you know, hopefully more of like a hairline fracture and something that, you know, maybe a couple weeks of rest, but if they're able to pad it and stabilize it well, that get him back out there sooner rather than later.
Trey being a tough football player, I think the quote from earlier today was that he has a wrist issue, not a broken wrist. I thought that was I was like, okay, he's a lot tougher than I am. I might be out for the season with something like that. But speaking of the Cincinnati Bengals, we like to talk a little sports on this show. The hometown team is playing some excellent football, 9-4 on the season. They've won 5 in a row and 7 of their last 8. And not only have they caught up to the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North, but they're putting themselves in the conversation to potentially have some home field advantage in the playoffs should they continue to win some football games. They've just been excellent here as of late.
They have been, I mean, it's great to see their defense playing as well as they are. I mean, a game like yesterday, the offense looked pretty ugly early.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the very beginning, the Bengals go 3 and out, Browns kind of drive down the field, running the ball down their throat, and sort of had that feeling of
here we go again.
Here we go again. And it was nice to see the defense kind of bend but not break, and then you know, just had to get a little bit of momentum and get their feet under them. I think some of those injuries caught them off, you know, with Higgins being out and then mm-hmm. Boyd going out that first series.
Yep.
But that's one thing with them this year. They you know, generally their defense has been stout all season,
mm-hmm.
and offense is really hitting its groove. It's nice to see the line starting to come together with, you know,
yes.
You got Garrett and Clowney for the Browns, and they held them to one sack yesterday.
Right. Yep.
And you know, and of course Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow. I listen to Sports Talk every morning on the way in, and everybody is still loving Jalen Hurts, and you know, of course Mahomes for MVP talk.
Yep.
And I think Burrow is getting overlooked at this point. I mean, they talk about how Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill and all that, and they forget the fact that Burrow's gone, you know, a fair amount of the season without Ja'Marr Chase, and then yesterday he won without his number two, his number three receiver, without his tight end, with it's, you know, even with Mixon missing some time.
Yep.
I think Burrow is if I was starting a team tomorrow, I'm not sure I would take anybody else in the NFL over him.
I had a family function yesterday and was asked, because everyone was raving about Josh Allen that was talking football at the family function. Who would you take if you were starting a team? And I said the same thing. I have a little bit of a bias towards the Bengals, but it is hard not to take Joe Burrow. He is just a winner in all stretches of the imagination. And like you said, with all the weapons that he's had out at various times this year, and they've continued to do enough offensively to win games, backed up by that great defense. I mean, they held Nick Chubb to 34 yards rushing yesterday, and he has largely tore them up the past several games that they've played the Browns. So that was a really great, gritty win. It was kind of reminiscent of how they won in Tennessee a couple weeks ago, but this team has shown that they're able to win in a lot of different ways, and they're very good at winning the close games, too. I think that's a mark of a good team.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, for anybody that's grew up watching the Bengals, that's not something you were always necessarily used to.
Right? And looking at their schedule going forward, this is going to be an intriguing matchup this Sunday because they play Tampa Bay. It's the first time Joe Burrow's got a chance to go up against Tom Brady. And Joe Burrow gets a lot of comps to Tom Brady as maybe the heir apparent and the next guy that's going to go win a bunch of Super Bowls, maybe not seven. That's kind of inconceivable to think about. So it's an intriguing matchup, but one the Bengals should probably win.
I would absolutely agree. I watched that game yesterday against the Niners, and honestly, I could foresee a Bengals-Niners Super Bowl rematch. The Niners look really good right now, but Tom looked a little bit of his age yesterday. It was almost a little bit tough to watch. I can't remember the last time I saw a major broadcast jump away from a Tom Brady game because it was such a blowout.
Yeah, and go to a Carolina Panthers-Seattle Seahawks game. Now, Carolina, as bad as they have been, they're still in last place, I think, in the NFC South, or third now after the win yesterday, and they still have a chance to win that division. Very, very poor division. But both South divisions, AFC and NFC, where are the good teams in those divisions? It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, and that kills me because I spent time in fellowship working right. with the Saints, and they're not very good this year. They need it's a quarterback league. You got to have a good quarterback, and they're kind of between them right now since Breeze left. And so
Bengals fans know exactly what they're going through because they went through the same thing. Andy Dalton's an okay quarterback, but he's a bridge quarterback right now, and they need that next great quarterback like Drew Breeze to get themselves back into a contending team down south. But things looking up for the Bengals, I mean, it's not inconceivable to say that they win the rest of their regular season games the way they're playing, but that Monday nighter against Buffalo and the regular season finale against Baltimore, two games they'll play at home, those will be big games to determine who is going to, one, be the AFC North champion and who's going to have home field advantage in the AFC. So we got some fun games left to go.
Oh, yeah. I think when the schedule first came out, I think a lot of people had that Buffalo game circled as having playoff implications in terms of, you know, seeding, you know, the home field advantage. And so it'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs do going out. You know, the West is pretty tough still. The Chargers looked pretty good yesterday. They beat up on the Dolphins. And, you know, so it'd be nice to see the Chiefs get hung a couple more L's and you know, the Bills, it can always be unpredictable with them playing up in Buffalo. You know, they're probably due for a couple more blizzard games this year, and all bets are off with a good quarterback when you got a foot of snow on the ground. So I'm, you know, hoping.
You just want to make sure you don't have to go there in January. Nobody wants to play in Buffalo in January for sure. So looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out. But after that 0-2 start, there's a different tune with this Bengals team, which is awesome and fun to talk about. The other football team in Cincinnati, the UC Bearcats, going through a little transition here with Luke Fickell taking the Wisconsin job. Money talks a little bit there. And Wisconsin, I would say historically, better football program than UC, so a step up going to the Big Ten. I was caught a little by surprise by the news because UC going to the Big 12, I thought maybe Fickell would stick it out with them for a little bit. What was your reaction when you heard that he was taking the Wisconsin job?
Yeah, I was shocked, actually. It kind of caught me out of left field just because you thought if he was going to go last year, you know, he was rumored to be top candidate for USC, for Notre Dame, you know, the real blue bloods of college football. And yeah, Wisconsin is a very solid Big Ten program, and the way that the Big Ten is structured, I think they're in the West, so they're, you know, there was that run of years where they were always in the championship game because Ohio State and Michigan were always competing against each other.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that was part of his consideration, but you know, with UC heading to the Big 12 and you know, kind of the increased viewership and revenue dollars that come with that, you know, and money talks. I'm not sure what his contract was at Wisconsin, but he was well paid at UC.
Yeah, you end up getting $7.5 million, close to $8 million a year. So I think it was a little bit of a bump for him.
That's a good bump. I think it's about 50% more than what he was getting at UC. But
I was a little caught off guard by it. And then we'll see how it shakes out with Scott Satterfield coming from U of L. Sounded like he was maybe on the hot seat, going to get fired this season, and then kind of backs into the UC job. He's had a decent career. He did some good job at Appalachian State. So it'll be interesting to see how he recruits and is able to navigate that. But we talked off air. It was like Deion Sanders or bust for the job, was it not?
That was exciting. I, you know, with my friends, a lot of us went to UC and we were kind of talking about it. And, you know, that was the pipe dream, was the eyeballs that a guy like that would bring, the profile to a program like UC. It immediately gives you, you know, that swagger going into the Big 12. And with him, you know, we sort of talked, I think he's only been coaching for a couple years.
Right.
But it's one of those deals where athletes are athletes. If you get a bunch of 4- and 5-star recruits, you can be an okay coach. And as long as you have a good offensive and defensive coordinator, talent speaks and speed kills. But that would have been awesome to see primetime back in Cincinnati. I think he liked his time with the Reds here, but you know, it wasn't meant to be.
I have a buddy that lives out in Colorado, was in Boulder over the weekend eating out, and apparently he was at the same restaurant as Deion Sanders. Said it was madness, but I have yet to see a photo surface or anything like that, so I'm taking it with a grain of salt. But all right, anything else you want to add? Anything that's caught your eye in the sports world or anything about Ortho Sensi before we let you go?
Not much else in the sports world. We kind of talked about the local programs here. Of course, we had the Crosstown Shootout over the weekend, which looked like a bad game until it wasn't. All of a sudden, I mean, that game has had some crazy moments over the years. And, you know, that 4-point play at the end was wild and kind of had us sweating a little bit. But, you know, again, otherwise, you know, congratulating the local teams here again, East Central on the state championship and Lawrenceburg on the run to the state title. Both very exciting, and lots of hard work goes into that from both coaches and players. And, so congratulations to both those programs as well. Otherwise, in terms of Ortho Sensi, again, you know, we've been here for over 3 years. It's been a, you know, real pleasure and a privilege serving the community here, and look forward to many more years of, you know, taking excellent orthopedic care of the community here.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by as always. You're welcome anytime. And again, one more time, thanks so much for the continued support of the show. I love doing it and love having you on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Dr. Brian Whistle of Ortho Sensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Again, you can learn more about all their services over at orthosensi.com. And have a Merry Christmas as well. We'll talk to you later. All right, Dr. Whistle, always a great guest here on Crunch Time. And we'll use the last 10, 12 minutes of the show, talk a little high school hoops, as we haven't necessarily gotten a chance to get really deep into high school basketball and take a deep dive on how our area teams are doing. I want to start on the girls' side of things with the East Central Lady Trojans. We had Coach Kevin Moore on last week, and this Lady Trojans starting to play some really good basketball. It was up and down there for a little bit. They started 4-0, and then they lose 4 in a row, and now they have won 4 in a row, including a 53-35 win at Columbus North last Thursday, a team that they might see in the sectional, a loaded sectional, as Coach and I talked about last week. But Josie Trable big in that game, and she's going to have to be big in the big game. She's the D1 athlete there at East Central, going to go to Wofford, and expected to play big in big games. She did against Columbus North, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 5 blocks. Caitlin Dick and Lainey Baker kind of make up the big three there in St. Leon in terms of scoring punch. Emily Klim has really been a nice addition to this team as well. Those three combining for 24 points in that victory last Thursday. And like Coach and I talked about last week, if they get to a point this season where they get a healthy Julia Tiemann back, that kind of provides a little bit more depth, because you think Julia's going to work her way back into the starting lineup, run the show as the point guard, and then you're able to bring another player that has a lot of experience from this season alone, maybe off the bench, and things could be even better down the stretch for this team, but they have battled through some health issues, played some tough teams during that four-game losing streak in November, but four quality wins here in the month of December. Greensburg, Madison, Jennings County, and the aforementioned Columbus North. EC will play Indianapolis Homeschool tomorrow, then they're off to Batesville on Saturday for a conference game. They have at Northeastern and home versus Mercy McCauley out of Ohio before heading to the Hall of Fame Classic on December 29th. And that is going to be a lot of fun. The Hall of Fame Classic at Newcastle Fieldhouse, going to feature four of the top programs in the state of Indiana. East Central, of course, going to be taking on the defending 4A state champion Noblesville. They're currently number five in 4A. Mishawaka Marion and Bedford North Lawrence will play on the other side of the bracket. And the losers will play in the third place game. The winners in the championship, all going to happen in one day at Newcastle Fieldhouse. And if you're going to purchase tickets and attend this event, the East Central Athletic Department, the girls basketball coaching staff, they're encouraging all fans to purchase those tickets through the East Central Athletic Department. They had to get a bunch of tickets in advance. Newcastle Fieldhouse, very, very large. They want to fill that up. And, well, East Central only gets reimbursed for the tickets they sell through their athletic department, so you can purchase them at girls and boys basketball games and during the school days as well. We got all the details over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Looking at the Lawrenceburg Lady Tigers, off to a good start this season under head coach Zane White, 6-2 on the season. They've won three in a row, two of which are conference games, Batesville and Connersville last week. So big wins for the Lady Tigers, that 46-41 win over Connersville. Gritty win for the team. Natalie Caniga with her best game of the season, a game-high 16 points, 5 rebounds. Lizzie Reeder, she has been a double-double machine here as of late, 11 points, 10 rebounds in that win. They're going to look to keep the win streak alive this week against games against Milan and Rushville. Tigers will be at home both of those games Tuesday and Saturday. As for South Dearborn, tough go at it so far this year. 1-11, losing 9 in a row. Three of those losses been by single digits. They've played some quality teams, and they've played some close games. This is a team that's still trying to gel together, even 12 games into the season. A lot of new faces on the team and trying to figure out how to win those close games. But despite the 1-11 record, I think this is an improved team from last year, and they're going to have an opportunity to go win some games this week at Connersville on Friday. They'll host Milan on Saturday, who's having struggles of their own at 1-9, and then they'll have a chance to go play at the Edinburgh tournament and get quite a few games over the holiday. Speaking of Milan, with their struggles this season, did pick up their first win earlier this month at Indiana Math and Science. A tough week ahead for the Lady Indians. Three road games, Lawrenceburg, Rising Sun, and South Dearborn. All those games going to be played within a 7-day span. That never makes it easy from a game plan situation. You can't spend too much time on one team. Sometimes it's better to just focus on yourself when you have three games in one week. Milan's also going to play at the Cambridge City Classic on December 29th, and then the popular Ripley County Tournament takes place the first week of January. Also wanted to hit on Rising Sun. 5-3 so far this season. They did have their five-game winning streak snapped on the 2nd this month. 30-19 loss at South Ripley. Real defensive battle there, obviously. Dropped a second straight game at Oldenburg Academy last Tuesday. Oldenburg, very solid team. Lady Shiners, three games themselves this week at Medora tonight. They'll play Milan and Trinity Lutheran as well, and they have the Speedway Tournament upcoming on December 29th before heading out to the Rivertown Classic at the start of the year. So looking at the standings in the EIAC and the ORVC, the EIAC East Central at the top of the conference, 3-0. They do have a win already against Greensburg, who's in second, 3-1. Lawrenceburg hanging in there at 2-1. Franklin County, Batesville, Rushville all 1-1. And Connersville and South Dearborn 0-3. So that's how it stacks up in the EIAC. Josie Trable, the leading scorer in the conference at nearly 19 points a game. Allison Peters from Batesville averaging close to 16. Leonie Boyer from Rushville averaging 15. Lainey Baker, 13. And Briley Munchell from Rushville averaging 13.4 as well. Your top five scorers in the EIAC. Looking at the ORVC, South Ripley setting at the top of the conference, 2-0. Right behind them, Shaw Memorial at 3-1. You got Switzerland County, Jacksonville, and Southwestern log jammed at 1-1. Rising Sun yet to play a conference game, and Milan is 0-4. Got the leading scorers in the conference there as well. looks like a Southwestern Shaw Memorial players top four. Regan Hughes from Jacksonville at 12 points a game. Julia Meyer, Olivia Neal right behind her at 11.8 apiece. Bailey Morris, Caitlin Samples, Alyssa Simpson, and Kaya Rainier are in the top 15 in scoring as well. Those ladies playing for Rising Sun, South Ripley, and Milan. I'm looking at boys basketball. We've got about 5 minutes to go. I'm going to have to get through this pretty quick. Ortho Cincy, the presenting sponsor of Crunch Time, OrthoCincy.com. Looking at South Dearborn, that's kind of the team that has really gotten off to a hot start here in boys basketball. 5-1. They've won four in a row. The only thing about that 5-1 record is the one loss is the most important one, because that was a loss to Franklin County, counting against their standing in the EIAC. But a pair of wins over the weekend against Madison and Harrison. Ryan Willoughby, known for being a tenacious defender, well, he's scoring some points this season. 35 against Madison, 26 against Harrison. Almost outscored Harrison by himself. He's been absolutely excellent. Brody Tiki had a nice weekend, scoring 19 points in total over those two games. And Xander Schwab has been a pleasant surprise for this team as well under first-year head coach Patrick Cosgrove. We're going to see South Dearborn in action on Wednesday when they travel to VV to take on Switzerland County. East Central off to an 0-1 start, 30-point loss to a very good Jennings County team in their first game. Sophomore Carson Pazonka had 18 points on 7-12 shooting. Joel Richter, another sophomore, with 7 points. Cole Wheat had 8 in their opening contest. Now, this is a young team, not a lot of depth that appears. 7 played in that first game against Jennings County. So I think this team will grow as the season moves on under Coach Dave Disbrow, he's been around for a long time. He's going to get these guys in shape, I promise you that. Lawrenceburg 2-1. Coming off their first sectional championship since 2009, they won their home opener against Milan. That came 5 or so days after the state championship game. A couple football players that didn't even really get much time to transition into basketball season, but they were able to knock off Milan. They split games at Batesville and Switzerland County over the weekend, lost at Batesville, won narrowly over Switzerland County, a game that was played without Cam Craig, Switzerland County star, but Gerald Taylor, Cooper Bobo leading the team in scoring so far at 9.3 and 8.7 points per game. Looking at this Tigers team through three games, they really need to get Logan Rohrer going. I would say he's their top returning player from a year ago. Not shooting the ball well to start the season, 25% from the field. He has 0 for 12 from the three-point line. I have no doubt that he's going to get it going, because he's too good of a player to continue shooting at that level. He's going to get it going. I can promise you that. Rushville on Friday at Greenfield Central on Saturday. And then next week, Lawrenceburg will be at home taking on Taylor on Tuesday the 20th. We will be there to call that game. Franklin County, another impressive team in the area, 5-0 so far this season. They got a big game at Greensburg on Saturday, big conference game. That's going to go a long way to seeing if they can, you know, be a legitimate contender for the EIAC championship, because one loss might be all that you can have. One or two losses is the maximum if you're going to win the conference. So big game there, and then they have a stretch of games later in the season where they play East Central, Lawrenceburg, and Batesville all within a 7-day time span. That will be the make or break, it seems, for Franklin County this season. Milan 1-2, they picked up their first win of the Matt Pickerel era on Saturday. They defeated Monrovia 58-52. Micah Norman has been a top performer for them so far, 15 points per game. Rising Sun snapped the three-game losing skid, 66-57 win over Switzerland County on Friday in the Ruler of the River game. Dylan Martin off to a good start, averaging close to 13 points per game. Brody Morris, Brady Works, Peyton Merica have been key performers as well. And a shout-out to Peyton Merica, the Ohio County Lily Endowment Community Scholar. That's a fantastic accomplishment for Peyton. Speaking of Switzerland County, 2-3 on the season, lost both games over the weekend to Rising Sun and Lawrenceburg. They played their last three without Cam Craig. They've gone 1-2 over those three games. Jacob Williams has really stepped up in Cam's absence, and they are quite the dynamic duo when they're both on the floor at the same time. So this is a team that has a lot of potential when at full strength, and they will host South Dearborn, as I mentioned, on Wednesday. We will be there for that call. So very quickly, in the ORVC, South Ripley early lead in the conference, 2-0. Excuse me, I think I got that backwards here. That was the girls. Let's go to the boys' side. Jackson Dell, early lead, 2-0. Southwestern, 1-0. South Ripley, Switzerland County, Milan have not played a conference game. Rising Sun, 0-1, and Shaw is 0-2. In the EIAC, Franklin County with the 2-0 record at the top of the conference. Connersville and Batesville, each 1-0. Greensburg and East Central without a conference game. Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn, 0-1, and Rushville, 0-2. I would love to get to some more stats and talk on high school hoops, but I have run myself out of time, so we will save that for another day. And we'll have another day coming up next Monday, another edition of Crunch Time right here on your hometown radio station, as always presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Thanks again to Dr. Brian Whistle for coming on and chatting with me this evening, and thank you to the listener for tuning in to Crunch Time right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, and at EagleCountryOnline.com.